Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to our callers in just a moment. I want to start today's broadcast with a Facebook question. It comes from Dana, who asked, "My in-laws are Catholic and firmly believe in purgatory. They pray for their loved ones that have passed on and have mass after mass to help them get out of purgatory. I'm not sure how to talk about this. The Bible states that we get to heaven by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I don't find anything that states we, quote unquote, wait for others to pray for us to get there. My niece has questions, and I'm not sure how to delicately and intelligently address this with her." Interestingly enough, I dealt with that very question in my complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition. It's true that Roman Catholicism teaches that believers incur debts that must inevitably be discharged in purgatory. They have to be discharged before, in the Catholic view, the gates of heaven can be opened. Now, it's important to point out that while purgatory is not equivalent to a second chance for unbelievers in Catholic theology, it is nonetheless, from my perspective, decidedly unbiblical. The doctrine of purgatory undermines the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. Scripture says that Christ, through one sacrifice, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Thus, we can rest assured that Christ received in his own body all the punishment that we deserved, absolutely satisfying the justice of God on our behalf. When Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," he was in effect saying, "The debt has been paid in full." Furthermore, Roman Catholicism clearly is undermining the seriousness of sin by forwarding the notion that there are venial sins that can be atoned for through temporal punishment in purgatory. In reality, as the Bible makes clear, all our transgressions, all our iniquities, are sins against a holy and eternal God. And as such, they rightly incur an eternal rather than a temporal debt. One final point before we go to our callers, and that is this. While purgatory was officially defined by the Council of Florence and officially defended by the Council of Trent, nowhere is purgatory officially depicted in the Bible. In fact, as the New Catholic Encyclopedia acknowledges, the doctrine of purgatory is not explicitly stated in the Bible. Thus, the Roman Catholics are forced to appeal to the traditions of the fathers rather than, from my perspective, the testimony of the Father, who through his word has graciously provided salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. Again, this question answered in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which right now is available to those who join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. I'll autograph it for you, personalize it for you to a family member, a neighbor, or a friend when you join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. Also, for those who this month give a gift, a one-time gift of $100 or more, be happy to personalize a copy to a family member, friend, or to you directly, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Again, you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Mark. He's listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. My question is regarding my family situation. I became a Christian 10 years ago, and my wife didn't. So I'm married to an unbeliever, and we have three children now and one more on the way very soon. And my problem is I'm trying to figure out how I should witness to my kids and share my faith with them without damaging my marriage, because my wife she's hostile to my faith, to Christianity, although we have a good marriage, and she has indicated that she would let our children make up their own minds, and choose their own, make their own decisions about spiritual matters. But I know that when the time comes that I have to share my faith with my children, it probably is going to put some pressure on my marriage. And I'd like your advice on how to handle that, please.
Well, I think you start with the testimony of your love and the testimony of your life. And it's wonderful that even though you are unequally yoked, you yet have a good marriage. That is commendable in and of itself and probably speaks to the fact that you are demonstrating already the reality of your faith in some significant or tangible way. You are right. You want to preserve your marriage. You want to preserve the safety net for your children. You already have three and one on the way. So what a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate the reality of the Christian life by the way you live it. On top of that, I think you just want to be very familiar with the Christian faith, how to share the gospel in a simple and yet profound way, with gentleness and with respect, how to answer questions. I mean, if I was married to someone who was not a Christian, I would want to know how to answer the very questions that so often repel people from the historic Christian faith. In fact, that's one of the reasons I wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. There are a lot of people who simply do not believe on false pretexts. I was one of them. When I was growing up, I thought Christianity had long been discredited as a result of the evolutionary paradigm. So I had false information, and once I recognized that evolution couldn't stand in an age of scientific enlightenment, everything changed. But there's another thing that you have to recognize. When you say your wife is not a believer, let me point this out to you. She has the light of creation. It's around her every single day, and it's testifying to her every single day. On top of that, she has written on the very canvas of her consciousness a knowledge of God. And as she gives birth to another child, she'll see another miracle. She'll see God's providence in bringing another human being into the world. And she'll know intuitively that this is not a function of pure chance, as the philosophical naturalists would have us believe. So there are all kinds of testimonies that are working on your wife already. So if you add to that the testimony of your love, who knows what the Lord might do in your relationship and in her conversion?
Yes, sir. I have made it a point to study Christian doctrine very, very carefully and to know how to share my faith with gentleness and respect. That's very important to me.
Well, I pray that God will continue to bless your relationship, your four children, the three you have, the one that you already have but is not yet visible, and that ultimately he will bring your wife to himself as well. Pray that God will bring people and circumstances into her life so that she might truly see.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it, Mark. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tim. He's listening on XM 170 in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
Hey, just a question on Jude 9. I'm kind of confused because it talks about the Archangel Michael having a debate with Satan over the body of Moses.
Right.
And I was wondering two things. First of all, where does this come from? Does it come from a book that's not in the Bible? And second of all, why do you think they would be having a debate over his body?
Yeah, interesting question. The Archangel Michael was supposedly sent to bury Moses' body. But according to Jewish tradition, In other words, not a canonical book, but a pseudepigraphal book. And the particular pseudepigraphal book is The Assumption of Moses. The devil argued with the angel about the body. Apparently, he was claiming the right to dispose of the body, but Michael, though powerful and having a tremendous amount of reign and authority, didn't dare dispute with Satan. So he left the matter in God's hands, saying, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, the point of communicating this passage is not to say that this book is authoritative in the same sense that canonical books are authoritative, but it's to make a point. The point is there are godless men, and these godless men change the grace of God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ and so forth. And on top of that, they are the kind of people who have become so perverse that they not only pollute their own bodies, they reject authority and slander celestial beings. So here you have slanderers, and the warning by Jude is not even a powerful angel would do what these men are doing. So again, he's using this as an example of how these slanderers simply don't know what they're getting into when you slander celestial beings and ultimately the God who spoke in the universe leapt into existence. So that's the point of quoting the Assumption of Moses.
I see. That makes sense. Do you think that it's... I've never read like the Book of Moses, and I know that Jude talks about the Book of Enoch. Are those books beneficial to the Christian, or should we just stay away and stick to the Bible?
Well, they can be beneficial. You have to recognize them for what they are. I read all kinds of literature. I've been reading, for example, the Apocrypha as a result of some of the research that I've had to do for a book that I'm writing. I find that a lot of what I read in the Apocrypha is extraordinarily insightful, edifying, encouraging. I've been blessed by a lot of what I have read in Maccabees about men and women who stood for truth in the face of the most incredible vilification and even cruel death. But yet I recognize that this is not on the same footing as the canonical books, so I read it, but I recognize that it is not the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, so I see a difference between what I'm reading. I'm gaining historical insights, I'm gaining edification, as I said, encouragement and so forth, but I see it for what it is as well. I don't put it in the same category as the Bible, but there are lots of books that I read. I read the Bible with different eyes because I recognize these words are not merely human, they're divine in origin.
Right. Well, thanks for clearing that up, and I am looking forward to your next book. So.
Hey, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Right. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Chris. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. I'm actually just calling. There's a big fury here in Kansas City about the International House of Prayer, and there are many Bible-believing Christians who affirm the position of one Mike Bickle. I was just curious on your comments about IHOP and Mike Bickle and the Kansas City Prophets.
Well, I've written about Mike Bickle in a book called Counterfeit Revival, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places. In addition to that, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal, which gives you insights on this this whole movement and some of the things that they are touting and promoting, including these super apostles and prophets that are part of the end-time forerunner church, and the notion that they're going to be experiencing greater things than the apostles themselves experiences. In fact, Bickle emphasizes that during the end times, Moses' miracles and the miracles of the book of Acts will be combined and multiplied on a global level as the praying church looses God's judgments on the earth. This is simply nonsense. We have the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is built on the testimony of the apostles and the prophets. And the apostles and prophets were given gifts to prophesy the future as well as to do the miraculous so that their works would attest them for who they were. So we now don't turn to those signs and wonders that people are pretending, but rather turn to the signs and wonders that we can absolutely trust in the Word of God. And so we test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. So when Mike Bickle says that we're living in the generation of Jesus' second coming, we say, let's test that in light of Scripture. Where in the world does the Bible tell us that we're living in that generation? We might be, but on the other hand, every generation has had that inkling about themselves. They all thought that they were the terminal generation. We simply do not know.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. And again, we've written about this Mike Bickle and the International House of Prayer movement in the Christian Research Journal. I think you can pick it up on the World Wide Web at equip.org. If you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you want to do that right away. It's an award-winning magazine that no family should be without. It is an absolutely stunning magazine, not only in terms of its content, but its presentation. We'll be right back in just a moment with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You want to get your call in? Here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial. The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the Word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article, Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Has the Bible Answer Man broadcast impacted your life? Have you been equipped to defend your faith? If so, consider becoming a Bible Answer Man support team member. In doing so, you'll be making an eternal investment in a ministry that equips believers to discern truth from error and to think Christianly about life's most important questions. As a new member of the Bible Answer Man support team, we will send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized by Hank. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is an indispensable resource that will not only provide answers to your questions, but equip you to answer questions raised by family and friends. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, just go to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. And now, once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Everything in Alaska is bigger, including the adventures from the awe-inspiring blue ice of a massive glacial field to the expansive grandeur of its wildlife and nature. Alaska is a land of natural wonders. There's nothing that we would like better than for you to join us for 7 wonderful days of fellowship, biblical teaching, questions and answers, beautiful sightseeing, adventurous expeditions, and time with your family. Join yours truly with Grammy Award-winning Christian musician and songwriter Steve Camp and Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller, for the trip of a lifetime. And I'll tell you what, if you've never been around Elliot Miller, he is an absolute panic. We had him on the cruise, the last cruise we did, and he had people in stitches. You know, so brilliant, it's hard to imagine that he's just that delightful to be around as well. And please consider joining the CRI team next May. Allow us the pleasure of being able to get to know you better, your family, as we sharpen one another during this special week at sea. All of this is taking place June 3rd through the 10th, 2011. The way you can register or find out more is simply go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and simply click on the ship. That will immediately get you to a website that gives you all the details. Again, join us for an Alaska cruise, all of it coming up June 3rd through the 10th. You can also call 877-768-2784. Extension 101. Want to go to the phone lines and talk to Carl next. He's listening on Sirius 161 in Wisconsin. Hi, Carl.
Well, hey, Hank. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I was listening to what you were saying about Benny Hinn last week, and the thought came to my head that I don't really know the difference between an apostate and a heretic. Do you have a decent definition for that?
Well, it may, at the end of the day, be a distinction without a difference, but typically an apostate is someone who was part of the faith and walked away from the faith. A good example would be Judas. If you would have been around at the time that Christ walked the earth, you would have seen Judas and you would have said, I want to be like Judas. He's in the inner circle of Christ. He's preaching the gospel. He's performing miracles, but Jesus Christ knew his heart and knew that he was a devil. So that would be, I think, a classic example of an apostate. A heretic is someone within the body of Christ who is taking essential Christian doctrine and compromising or outright contradicting the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and therefore the word heretic applies.
Oh, okay. So an apostate wouldn't be somebody necessarily that lost their salvation.
Well, that is an in-house debate, because there certainly are believers who think that you can come to faith in Christ and then walk away from faith in Christ. That is a position that's acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. I don't happen to hold that position. But people that hold that position would then say this is a classic example of Judas once again. He was a believer. He walked away from the faith. I would say that that is not the case, that Judas had a said faith as opposed to a real faith. He was not with Jesus Christ because he loved the master, but rather he was with Jesus Christ because he loved what was on the master's table.
Okay, well, thanks.
You got it. Thank you for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Alan. He's listening on Bot Radio, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. I got a pretty simple question, really. It's concerning, okay, saved, you accept Jesus in your heart, so what is it exactly when you're doing when you're getting baptized?
Well, interesting question. When you're baptized, you are set apart. So you're not saved by being baptized. You're set apart through baptism as part of the body of Christ. Christianity knows nothing about Lone Ranger Christians. So when you become a believer, you don't become a believer in isolation. You are baptized into a fellowship of faith that collectively say we are the body of Christ, we have been buried to our own lives, we've been raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, we are now taking up our cross and daily following him.
Excellent. So that kind of goes like hand in hand with getting saved,
yes. It does, yeah. When you're saved, you're also set apart. So baptism doesn't save you, but it is a sign that you have been set apart, that you are part of the family of faith. Again, you are born into a community of faith, and not into isolation as a Lone Ranger Christian. We have this idea within Christianity that, you know, we're individualistic and we're born. We now have our insurance policy, but that's not biblical Christianity. You're born into a body, the Church Universal, which is expressed through local churches throughout the world.
Excellent. That makes a lot of sense. Now, does it? Okay, if I'd done it when I was a young child, you know, I really had no idea what was going on with it, but I'd done it. So would it be a good idea to go ahead and get baptized again, or what do you think about that?
Well, you can. It's not absolutely necessary, but here's my view. I was personally baptized as a child. Unfortunately, I did not commit my life to Christ until I was 29 years of age. And when I did, I was baptized again because I wanted to visibly testify that I was no longer my own, that I was bought with a price. And so I was baptized to publicly identify myself with Christ.
Okay, excellent. That's the same thing my brother said. So that's what he said it was about.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you. That really helps.
You got it, Alan. Good talking to you. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Patty. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Patty.
Hello. Yes, I was interested in, could you explain to me more about Judgment Day in Revelations? After, if we've dedicated our lives to the Lord and lived, and Jesus is all-forgiving, and I thought, unless I'm misunderstanding, that once we've repented and we live we live our life according to obey Jesus, and I thought our sins were forgotten, and then like on Judgment Day we have to answer for our life and the choices that we've made. I'm missing something, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the situation. You are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, but you are saved unto good works, which is to say what you do now counts for all eternity. And Paul points this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, a recognition that we are saved on account of Jesus Christ alone. But then Paul goes on to say, if any man builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones or vicariously wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And this, I think, conjures up in everyone's mind the sober reality that some Christians will be resurrected with precious little to show for the time they spent on earth. And that's why Jesus Christ said, "Do not labor for that which perishes, but labor for that which is eternal. Or behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he's done." It's also why you have in Scripture the crowns that are mentioned. The crown of glory, for example, is mentioned. The crown of righteousness is mentioned. The crown of life. These are all emblematic of rewards, which we, in essence, to cash out the metaphor, throw at the feet of Jesus Christ in gratitude for what he has done for us. But Christ the righteous judge does judge us for what we have done. And just like a court of law, there are degrees of reward. So in a court of law, there are degrees of punishment for those who are found guilty. God the righteous judge does not judge a garden variety pagan on the exact same level that he judges someone who has killed 6 million people or 13 million people. Again, he's the righteous judge, and the Bible makes clear that there are degrees of reward in heaven, degrees of punishment in hell.
Oh, okay. I guess, if we live a righteous life from the time that we're saved, if a pure life, then what we did before we were saved has already been forgotten?
Well, yes, all of our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness, so he covers us with the spotless robes of his righteousness, and that's the foundation. But we're still judged for what we do. So what we do now counts for all eternity. Matthew records Jesus Christ saying, "The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." The Apostle John says, "The dead, great and small, were standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." So again, there's ample evidence in the Scripture that there is a judgment for those who are the sheep, just like there is a judgment for those who are the goats, the sheep being emblematic of those who are saved. The goats are those who are destined for perdition. I've written about this in detail, by the way, in a book called Resurrection, in a chapter of that book titled Rewards.
Resurrection. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it.
I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We are coming up to a station break. We're right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Do remember the resources that I talk about right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast are available at equip.org. You can order there in a safe, secure fashion. Also, while you're on the World Wide Web at equip.org, do check out the opportunity to become a Bible Answer Man monthly support team member. We need many of you to build a foundation so that we can continue not only to minister effectively on the stations we are now broadcasting on, but so that we can expand our reach and touch the lives of people who have not as yet heard. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
At the Christian Research Institute, we appreciate your support. Through your faithful prayers and contributions, you enable us to continue broadcasting and producing materials that are making a difference in the lives of people around the world.
For your gift this month to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, an audio compilation of 6 insightful interviews with leading experts and contributors to the Christian Research Journal covering crucial topics such as the biblical concept of family, atheism and morality, the killing of the Canaanites, evolution, biblical grounds for divorce, and a thoughtful examination of social media. To order the Forefront audio CD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, give us a call at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. But don't change the station. Hank will be right back in a moment. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on 4 continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is a one-of-a-kind magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with trustworthy content you can depend on. Get a biblical perspective on current events, religious movements, and cultural trends, and gain the discernment skills you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And Randy was just talking about the Christian Research Journal. Again, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, take a moment to do that immediately. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. The cover story in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation, most of the media discussion around the millennial generation tends to focus on sensationalist trends and traits, it is much more evangelistically helpful to recognize that millennials are heirs to and inhabitants of the disenchanted universe shaped by their parents and predecessors, the baby boom generation. That's why they're sometimes called echo boomers. The Christian Research Journal, again, available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Just pick up the telephone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk next to Chip. Chip is in Bloomington, Illinois. Hi, Chip.
Hi, Hank. My question is about Peter's vision with the white sheep, and it was spoken to him three times about the fowl and the fowl in the air and the other animals, and his response was that it was unclean to eat, and he was hungry, and he said he told God he had never put anything unclean in his body, and he then later on it spoke about what the vision meant and how he understood it. How did he decipher that to know to go speak to the people that he testified that to?
Yeah.
I mean, how did he?
Well, first of all, Peter didn't understand the mystery of the gospel, that the two had become one in the truest sense of the word until after he saw the vision. The problem was that the Judaizers wanted people to take on all the traits of Judaism. And unfortunately, there was this idea that you still had to adhere to civil and ceremonial laws. Those laws, unfortunately, for those who didn't understand, had been abrogated. They're no longer necessary. And Christ had made this clear to his disciples. He said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And Peter saw this clearly as a result of the vision he received in Joppa. And he said, I now realize how true it is.
Okay.
That God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear
right.
him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, with the emphasis on that last word, all.
Correct.
Awesome. Just as race was of no consequence in Christ, so too there were no other considerations. There's no dividing wall. We are one in Christ.
Awesome, awesome. I thank you very much. And I need to know one more thing about how do I donate to your ministry or to the radio station for helping you continue?
Well, thank you so much for asking that question. The best way of doing that is on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Equipped?
Yeah, EQ.org. Yeah, EQUIP.org.
EQUIP.org.
Yeah, we're trying to equip people to wit the website equip.org.
Okay, I don't have a computer or anything. I didn't know if there was any way I could just send money orders once a month.
Yeah, you can do that via the mail as well at Post Office Box 8500.
8500.
Charlotte,
okay.
North Carolina.
Charlotte?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, the phone's kind of breaking up a little bit. I'm in the car.
Yeah, it's Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, Charlotte.
I hope you're not writing while you're driving.
Well, we're doing 5 miles an hour.
Okay.
I'm behind a bunch of traffic.
Okay. Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271.
I'm sorry, one more time, 28?
271.
28271, North Carolina. Okay, great, and thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Mark. Mark is listening on KLCV in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, Hank?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Pretty much, I just kind of started back reading the Bible. I used to read a little bit before, but now I'm kind of more in tune to everything. And what I wanted to know, like in First Genesis, when it talks about how God created the heavens and the earth. Is there like different levels of heaven? Or like what did he actually mean by the heavens?
Well, no. It's a way of speaking about the heavens and the earth. It's actually a metaphor, in a sense, for the entire created universe. Although I will say this, the Bible does talk about heaven in different ways. It talks about heaven as the atmosphere which surrounds the earth. And in that sense, Job points out that the frost and the wind come from heaven. There's another way in which the Bible talks about heaven as the celestial heavens. And the heavens in that sense are the realm of the sun, the moon, and the stars, which God placed in the heavens, as you point out from Genesis chapter 1. And there's a third way that the Bible talks about heaven, and that is in the sense of the dwelling place of God. So when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," he was using heaven in that sense. But your question points to something very significant, and that is, words are not univocal, they are equivocal. And what I mean by that is words take on meanings depending on the context in which the words are used. And therefore, I can use heaven in a biblical sense in at least three different ways.
Right. Hmm. Okay, yeah, because I just had that question on that because I was told that I never got to get to cross-reference that scripture where it was actually at in the Bible that someone went up. I can't remember who it was, if it was Peter or whoever that went up to the third level of heaven or something like that.
The third heaven, yeah, that was the Apostle Paul.
That was the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
So when they said that, what did that mean though? Like if it was like he went up to the third heaven with God.
Well, he doesn't really explain it. He says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven." The presupposition is that he is talking about himself, but in such a modest way. Today, when people go to heaven or go to hell, at least in their fantasies, they write whole books about it and start cottage industries on it. But Paul was being very modest about it, and he was, in a sense, talking about being in the presence of God in that particular context.
Hmm. Okay. All right. That pretty much answered it then, I guess, so.
Okay. Hey, appreciate your question, Mark. Thanks for tuning in. We'll go back to the phone lines now. We'll go to a Canadian listener. Listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Anne.
Oh, Hank, I have a question. I wonder, have you heard about the movement called Christ Lamb? It is a combination of Christ and Islam.
Well, basically, it is the name of at least two religious movements, and it's an attempt at an ecumenical reconciliation between Christianity and Islam. So there are a number of different movements in this regard. But the one thing we can say at the very outset is there's no way of harmonizing Christianity with Islam. And this is not just stated from a Christian perspective, it's also stated from a Muslim perspective. Muslims believe that the notion that Christians have, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the unforgivable sin of shirk. They also do not believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. They believe that God made someone look like Jesus, and the look-alike was crucified in place of Jesus Christ. So the essentials of the Christian faith that we hold dear, Islam compromises, confuses, and in most cases, outright contradicts. So the two can never be harmonized. And thus, we need to use the deviations of Islam as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart.
I was quite surprised. I got an email about this, and there they even mention Rick Warren. I always considered him as a very... I shouldn't say conservative, but very firmly grounded biblical preacher, you know, and if that is really true, that in his church are Bible and Quran, both in the pew, you know, I don't know, I have no words to express my displeasure.
Well, let me say this. I know Rick Warren well. I certainly don't know about this situation. But I can say, based on my knowledge of Rick, I would be highly suspect of that information.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any firsthand information about this, but just knowing Rick and his commitment to salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Jesus Christ alone, I would be very, very suspicious of anyone communicating this kind of information about him.
But movements are, that's true that there are movements about and called a Christ Lamb.
Absolutely, yes. There are a number of different movements like that, and they start with this idea that God has revealed the need to reconcile these two great monotheistic religions, but the two cannot be reconciled. The Allah of Islam is not the Allah of the Bible. The Allah of Islam is transcendent. The God of the Bible is also transcendent, but knowable. He condescended to reveal himself in time and space, and therefore we can know him and have an intimate personal relationship with him for time and for eternity. The Muslim cannot say that with absolute certainty, because...
No, that's true. I have some friends, Muslim friends, and when we discuss this, well, yes, they say, we believe in Christ, too, in Jesus Christ, but he is a prophet, not like you, they will tell me, like you believe.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. And that's what I was saying to the earlier caller. Words are not univocal, they're equivocal. So people can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. The question is, and this is the mother question that Jesus Christ himself posed, who do you say that I am? A Muslim will pour a different meaning into the word, as you just pointed out, than a Christian would. And I'm intimately acquainted with this, not just on an intellectual level, but also on an experiential level. I led a Muslim to the Lord named Saeed Jarrar, and he came and lived in our home for a year. And so we got to know him intimately. He had memorized two-thirds of the Quran, which was a great object lesson to my kids to do for the truth what cults and world religions do for a lie.
That's right.
We should be internalizing the Word of God, getting into the Word of God, and getting the Word of God into us. And I have to leave it at that. Anne, it was great to talk to you. Thank you for your call. Remember, when you're listening into this broadcast, you should immediately note something. We must exercise discernment skills. We also need to use our critical thinking faculties. Not everything that you see or read is true. Internet lies today travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. So I think the operative thing for all of us to do is to become so familiar with essential Christian doctrine that when the counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. Again, thank you for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered right here live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org.
On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith, on the other as peace-loving pacifists. In the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was painfully obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. Many of us know Muslims already in our neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, brings together the best articles of the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order this unique hardbound book on Islam, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org.